Welcome back to the Taylosin Tech Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am joined by Nick and Emperor Palpatine. How are we doing today?
Good.
He must love lightning.
Or thunder bolts.
He wouldn't be a fan of a portless iPhone, now would he?
Power of the iPhone.
And I'm only saying that because two people watching, listeners, you get to hear it too, but I'm recording on my iPhone this week. I am technical difficulties, so old school, we're going 2019 on this. So
more technicals. Oh well.
Yeah. Yeah. This is so 2019.
Hey, but if I look good and you can see me and all that stuff, then I must have not recorded on an Android.
Ooh!
Shots fired.
Shots fired. We need to talk about this, guys. This is a red alert.
Speaking of shots fired.
Apple Sheep, red alert. We have some very salty content coming right at you. Intel sucks. Change my mind.
The salt. Why does Intel suck, Nick? I know why, but I want you to say it.
Because their marketing department is so blatant in their disregard for Apple. And it's so funny because, you know, in the inside, they're putting, and we'll talk about the marketing schemes in just a second, but they're putting all this out because Apple leaving Intel hurt them financially. They're just screw
Huge.
You, Apple.
It must have hurt bad, I imagine, to get all of the best-selling Macs are like, we don't need Intel anymore. So instead of,
We're Intel three times better.
Yeah. Instead of Intel perhaps investing more money into their chip development and deciding, okay, well, let's try to make a better chip than the M1, or let's try to compete with Apple's processors, they said, let's blow a bunch of money on ads that complain about why Apple's bad instead of actually make better processors.
Makes sense to me.
So it's very logical.
They took the Samsung approach.
It's very logical. If you read one of their ads, it says, if you can power a rocket launch and Rocket League, you're not on a Mac. Get PC. Go PC. Go PC. Go PC.
I saw that.
That is just so stupid. Very stupid.
Did you guys ever watch that?
Rocket League was on Mac.
It is. That's the sad part. I think the comparison is they're saying we can send a rocket in space and you can play Rocket League. You can only do one. It's dumb. This reminds me of
haven't they brought iPads to the space station?
There are plenty of Macs in space right now. I know there's at least a 13-inch MacBook Air somewhere up there.
I was going to say, if they wanted to use power efficiency and lightweight design, would probably go well with space.
You know?
If anything, this is a great ad as to why NASA should switch to Apple Silicon at their launch facilities.
Cause very true.
They are now ditching the whole Intel's are faster. They're now just saying Intel's better because they legally can't say Intel's are faster.
Because Intel's more integrated in the world.
So if you click on the ad they've been promoting, where does it take you?
On Twitter?
Yeah. They have that Twitter ad, that Intel.
Oh, it's
Twitter
a YouTube ad. It's a YouTube link.
It takes you to
a
wonderful video.
It's Mr. John Rettinger. He's got
I thought he built his brand off of Apple.
Well, I think a lot of it was
money.
No disrespect to John. I know you got to do what you got to do to run your business and you got a family to support. I get that, but it seems like people aren't responding very very happily to this video.
Oh.
A lot of negative comments, a lot of dislikes. Yeah, it's not great to complain about a product when you're sponsored by their competitor. I think in any category. I don't think this is just tech, but anytime you are sponsored by a competitor and then bash that company in the process, I don't know. It's just, it's the definition of conflict of interest. You know, it's literally when I defend Apple, oftentimes when people say I shouldn't and people say, how much is Apple paying you? I take a lot of joy in that because I get to say
negative
nothing. I'm saying this because I believe I in pay fact, Apple. I have to
Google
buy all
pays
this
us.
Stuff.
So
Google, their competitor, pays me. But if I was in a situation where Apple was sponsoring my videos, I think people would watch them with complete different viewpoint mm-hmm. than currently. If I was defending them removing the charge brick and then I ended it with today's video is sponsored by Apple, it's like, okay, he's literally getting paid.
Brought to you by iPhone 12 mini.
Yeah. That everything you have to say after that, it just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, this it's is feel- I haven't watched the video. I'll be honest, I haven't watched it until today. I was not aware of it, but I will say that this is the definition of conflict of interest in general. Why people yeah. attack you, Drew, or Marquez, or anybody who has a known anything really
sure.
online presence. That when people build a distrust for you, no disrespect to John, but it's because of situations like this where he does that, and then another video he praises the M1 chip. And I mean, I get it in the sense that maybe you got to do what you got to do to make the grind, but I kind of feel like integrity matters personally, and I'm only sure. speaking for myself.
To a certain extent.
My integrity on my brand, like, you're not going to see me come on here, and one day I'm just going to be like, hey guys, have you heard about the new OnePlus 9? And then we start. It's not true to me or the branding that we've built, and yeah. I don't. And I just. It's if it just feels a little dirty. It's almost like dirty politics, almost, but to each their own. But what do we know? We ain't crap. looking at the comments and the dislike yeah. ratio.
So I will say I won't say much on the John Rettinger video except read the comments, because I spent about 40 minutes last night reading every one of the 417 comments. I read all of them, and I couldn't find...
This is what Nick calls fun, ladies and gentlemen.
To be fair, Scott and I were kind of hanging out.
Hey, what do you want to do for fun? Oh, let's go read hate mail that's not directed towards us.
Pretty much. Yeah, but wow. I was looking for the one good comment. I wanted to find a comment that was like, oh, wow, great points. I couldn't find it. I literally read all of the comments. There was not a good comment
legit?
There. I legit.
You couldn't find
there
one?
Was not one person who said, there were plenty of PC Master Race people who hate Apple, but all of them were still saying either, I hate Apple, but the M1's pretty cool, or they were saying, I hate Apple, but John, this is dirty. And so
I've experienced that too in our own Discord. There's a lot of, a surprising amount for the Talosive Discord. Because you'd think if it's Talosive, these are all Apple mm-hmm. sheep that are all in on Mac. But a surprising number of our mods and even our admin use PCs they built themselves.
Wow, impressive.
And they work on those, and we have a tech channel in there. The reason we have an Apple channel and a tech channel mm-hmm. was specifically because a lot of people in Discord like talking about new GPUs coming out from AMD or NVIDIA and talking about different PC builds, and that was so drastically different from all the people talking about iPhones and iPads that we figured it made sense to separate the two. And yeah, the excitement for the M1 is so much bigger than just Apple sheep, really. Mm. Like, it surpasses, and not just the M1 specifically, but Apple Silicon in general has gotten so many others who aren't even big Apple fans or even people who use MacBooks into like, wow, that's pretty impressive. You can get that type of performance in something so cheap, something so light. So Intel, not a great move to decide. Well, let's just start bragging. I'm looking at another tweet they made. It says, if you can flip through Photoshop thumbnails with your actual thumb, you're not on a Mac.
You can do that with an iPad. Or
I was going to say, isn't Photoshop on iPad?
Yeah, it is. Kind of is.
So,
but it's not in.
Even from a even from a mark. Oh, I think the tweet's been taken down.
Oh, wow.
Oh, never mind. I just clicked it. I'm looking at the responses to the tweets right now. They're not pretty.
No.
People are like, I like Surface, but
I'm not being facetious isn't. When I ask this question. Has Qualcomm come out and done anything like this?
No, not to this extent.
I don't think so.
This no, strikes might have... me as the last cry of a dying brand when they know that their current roadmap is nothing on the magnitude of what AMD... AMD is also pumping out some really good chips. I'm reading the comments of John's video, and it's like,
sure.
The choice is really between Apple and AMD right now. John C. said that one day ago.
Yeah.
So it's like AMD's putting out some decent stuff. You know, it's not as good sure. as Apple's M1, but if you really hate Apple, then AMD is probably the best place to go.
But AMD has a wide range exactly. of yeah. stuff, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't think... I kind of feel like in the market now, as the technology has matured, I don't think it's a thing about hating Apple. I'm excluding trolls because trolls just want reactions. But I think people who choose not to go with Apple is because of their own ecosystem, so to say, that they have set up.
Right.
And even more so if it's something that some people just are hands-on. They like to make their own things from the ground up. And I've asked people in that scenario, I go, if Apple let you customize with your own hands and open up like they used to, like you can open up the back end, they would have been like, hell yeah, I would get an Apple. Because they would acknowledge it. The only way now, or even then, I haven't asked it recently, and I'm sure it's different now, they only would say it's like, no, I'm really into the heavy gaming. And this was actually – last time I had this conversation was when – crypto mining was a thing in 2017.
Mm,
and so they said that we need to have these servers and we need to do all this stuff. And that's not a Mac thing. They're like, we're using Windows or they would do their own kind of setups and stuff like that. So people who are not leaning towards Apple isn't because of an emotional reaction. It's like, screw them. I don't like them. It's because they're like, oh, this is what I do. And they're more, you know, sysadmin type. They need to be able, they're very analytical and they like to get in there and program and do all those things. And even those guys said, if Apple let you do that, they would have gone with them. But they're like, that's just not the lifestyle. I asked about the Qualcomm thing because I know Samsung, we compare this to Samsung taking a dig at iPhones. And then
which time?
That's better than this, for the record.
What's better, Samsung?
Samsung taking digs at Apple. I don't like it when they do it because I feel like they always go back on it anyway, and it just makes them look hypocritical. But the arguments Samsung used are way better than what Intel is doing right now.
this is just... I think they're purposely trying to be trolling and clickbaity and
it
hoping
does feel
that
like
they're
trolling.
Grasping for attention because they've seen that every single YouTube video that any YouTuber has made about the M1 Max is just all positive. Like, okay, besides like some Bluetooth issues or whatever, some people are having some problems, but for performance per dollar, everyone's praising them. And Intel's just like, okay, so how do we make headlines? what's our roadmap look like? And they're just shuffling through their roadmap and they're like, we don't have anything that good. Let's troll. And that was the idea there.
That's it.
I do want to say, if Intel's lineup continues the way it goes, I'm really looking forward to the 300 nanometer Intel i9 chip that I'll be able to cook my breakfast on. It'll be perfect.
Make a great stove. Well, I mean, it's one thing to just brag about features you have that no one else does. That's fine. I don't have an issue with them saying that our laptops have...
We got a brick.
Yeah, a laptop has a touchscreen. You can brag about that. But when you start directly calling out, when you start saying things like, you're not on a Mac, that's when... I mean, they're insinuating every PC has a touchscreen as well in this tweet.
Fact check false.
They're...
When they say that, oh, you can launch a rocket, I'm like, right, but is Billy from middle of USA launching rockets? If he is, I think the FBI should be involved in this, but outside of that, like, it's that same argument, like, oh, well, these PCs are way faster and stronger than your Mac. When they do that, it's like, oh, but is your PC faster than it? And then they get all...
No.
No.
Oh, is this faster than an M1?
It's better.
It can launch a rocket, though.
It's better, though. Don't worry about it.
It can launch a rocket. Cool. I'll let Kim Jong-un know and get right on that.
I feel like that's... Even if Apple would have said a Mac can launch a rocket, I would have called that a stretch. Even if Apple's marketing team was like...
If
they
don't have Elon's
Mac
endorsement
Pro
on it, I don't believe any of you can launch rockets. I'll believe it when Elon says it.
Well, I'll just...
I like that they... are pushing the idea that the people launching rockets at whether it be NASA or SpaceX are also playing Rocket League on those computers. Like,
and I'm like, Intel, seriously, your chips are running hotter than monomethylhydrazine meeting dinitrogen hexoxide in a combustion chamber. Your chips are so hot and spicy.
That's it. That's it. You guys can do another video on ghost pepper chips, except they'll make a really hot bag of chips and they'll call them Intels. Intel. Just a big old bag of Intels and you can open up. Woo!
Woo! They're all square and they're on a, I don't know, 20 millimeter die.
That is hot. Yeah, no, anytime a company has gone with the anti-Apple advertising, it's never ended well, to be honest. It never goes very smoothly.
It doesn't age well. It doesn't even age soon. It just
It doesn't age at all.
It doesn't age.
It's like buying sour milk. Yeah. You know, you can put it in the fridge, but it's not going to help. It's still sour.
In the breaking the fourth wall here, making a very terrible transition, I just want to recap some thoughts on the MacBook Air M1 that I have right now.
Just yeah, how's that going?
It's great.
Wow, you're really selling me there, Randy.
It's no Intel.
It's no Intel. I think that's why
we're not
my
sponsored.
Man, we're not sponsored. No, I'm an idiot. I bought it full price. That's only because I'm waiting for the one I ordered online last week. It's not here yet from Apple, so I've been using one from Best Buy.
So, gotcha. They had one.
They had one. And you know what's funny? The irony of it all is that I bought one immediately because the other one was – my iMac was just not working. And now I can't stream. I can't do anything still. So
did you send back the iMac?
Not yet. Not until I get the one from Apple. Okay. When I get my final my actual computer, I will send the iMac. And they're telling me I have until the 31st for them to honor the 480 gift card.
Gotcha.
So I'll send it back. Good. But USB hubs are very interesting because I'm new to this world. And I got two of them because I thought my hub was acting up with the Cam Link, but it's the Cam Link. What I've learned is not all hubs are created equal in the sense that not just in like quality, but even spacing of the ports. I bought a pretty decent 8-in-1 called like Vava.
It's no VAV. Okay.
I didn't even see that online, but I mean, so it comes with 8 ports because one of the ports is a headphone jack, so then you can have 2. And I'm like, all right, so now you have 2 headphone jacks. I only got it because it was cheaper than the 7-in-1 that they are offering that I was going to get. I bought it, and I noticed that the ports, the USB-A, USB-A, USB-C lineup, they're pretty close together. It's very they're pinched. And I was like, ooh. Mm. And then I bought an anchor one, and I got it the next day, and it's more spaced out. And though I can't use my Cam Link still, it's more spaced out, so nothing's fighting. But I don't like the placement of the HDMI because it's on the other side. So now that I'm kind of learning how I'm setting up my desk here. I'm using a monitor now, and I have all this stuff, but I have a little clamshell holder thing that you can get from Apple. I've got it cheaper on Amazon, but I'm using that thing to dock my laptop. And much like I was telling you guys last week about getting the MacBook Air as opposed to the Mac Mini is portability, I have been more productive this past week with the MacBook than anything else. Since I can't stream, I decided to work on videos still that I can still get done, and I'm editing them. I've been writing a lot of music. And
that's good.
In the middle of the week, La Mesa, the whole city of La Mesa and outside of La Mesa, so one of the cities in San Diego County, lost electricity for over 24 hours. We had no electricity. Whoa. So I went over to my friend's house. I was like, hey, can I work in your garage? Because he has like an office space in his whole garage is just one big studio. So I went over there and I brought the MacBook and I'm working just right there. I was like, hey, I'm going to be, non-intrusive. Like, I'm not even here. And he's like, yeah, no, come on over. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting there working, and the M1 battery or the processing chip for the battery on a single charge, I was doing fine. just the workflow of mobility and me being able to be as productive as I was, I really love the MacBook so much that like my experience with the M1 MacBook format instead of a desktop is mm-hmm. really getting me excited for the 14-inch, 13, whatever, the real MacBook Pro that I want later on in the year.
The real one.
The real one. Like, oh my God, thinking how like this is the worst of the worst. There's no fan in this. It's two ports. The only difference is I got the 8-core instead of the 7-core GPU. No, CPU. One of the PUs.
The non-bend M1.
But I really, 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 really like the M1 chip for its performance in the battery and everything. I'm rarely having it docked on here to like charge battery. I'm getting a full day's worth, not out of editing will eat up my battery more, but just mm-hmm. being able to move about, because I'm not on the computer 24/7, just in my ability to move around. And this is it. Like, I more so than anything, like, screw Intel and all that, like, this is the chip. I now having a longer than just a weekend with Nick or anything else of just like demo scene online, anybody who's even remotely considering and they can't wait, like I couldn't wait, I strongly recommend any M1 chip is phenomenal. And it's, I can't imagine, I now understand what they mean. You can't go back once you start, like on it. Like, I get it.
Right.
It's so, this is the future.
I did, but I kind of hate it. I went back. Now seeing all these Intel ads, I'm like, man, I just want to get rid of my iMac Pro out of spite.
It reminds me of Tesla. Like, it's like, I don't ever want to drive a gas vehicle ever again. I get it. I love the M1 chip. So I love the MacBook Air, how clean and slim it is and the two ports. The dongle thing kind of pisses me off, if I'm being honest. It's very frustrating. But if I have to take that and have extreme power of Logic and Final Cut and mobility overall, as opposed to being glued to an iMac and I'm sitting here just watching this mm-hmm. go forever. I take the M1 chip any day of the week. I don't ever want to use Intel for anything ever again.
I'm the only like Intel Mac user now. You guys are all switched
for
over.
Main work. I mean, I do have a Intel Mac still.
We have been enlightened, Drew.
It's
take the pill.
I only
Drew.
Have Intel.
Take the pill. Take the red
I need
pill.
The pill.
Take the red pill. Not the blue one. The blue one's Intel. Don't take the blue pill.
Yeah. Take the Apple pill.
No, I took
the Macintosh. Yeah. I think Apple knows they have to retain this lead over Intel now, and they wouldn't have made the transition if they weren't sure of that. So they probably are testing all these next generation Apple Silicon chips internally and seeing like, oh yeah, we can go faster. Like, we can do way better than this. So kind of like how once they made the switch over to Intel from PowerPC, it wasn't like PowerPC independently came back and actually started outperforming Intel. It was like, no, that was the end of an era. And I think this is – Intel is kind of feeling the burn of their era kind of ending. They can't keep up with – just AMD, they can't even keep up with, and definitely not Apple. And as Apple's design and everything being so – vertically integrated, not with mass production, but with the design aspect. It's like, sorry, Intel. I get that you're upset. I get that you're frustrated, but this is not the way to go about it. But I'm glad the M1's working for you. It didn't, in all your audio mixing or video editing, there weren't any slowdowns or parts where you were finding its limits?
It was, when it came to rendering in Final Cut, it didn't even like hesitate. It rendered everything so quick. Now, context is I'm rarely out of all the footage I've used so far, I don't think any of it's 4K, but even when I was doing 1080 at 30, I mean, you saw, Drew, it's you're sitting and you're waiting. There's no latency. There's no what's the thing called, like, not, it's
rendering
playback?
After image of like the mouse moving when you're moving, like there's no lag.
Oh.
There's no,
I know what you mean.
No playback issues. It rendered everything in Logic. I even did a challenge where I took I turned my walk-in closet into a vocal booth, and so I undocked everything. I took the laptop in there, and I took my preamp, and I set up everything as I would have done right here. But I went to the closet to use just the Mac, and that was it. and I'm playing all these live audio input recordings that I had. So it's a heavy stack, and there's a lot of processing done on each of these little instruments and stuff. And anybody who's familiar with using Logic, that the more plugins that you're having on it, it's mm-hmm. it's requiring more speed and processing to play back in live time without any latency, or it's going right. to time out. And what mm-hmm. people have seen in playbacks of things timing out, that's why it gets overprocessed. It just played it so smooth, and I was like, so I even upped up the quality where I had longer latency for a higher quality playback, and there was latency involved, and like it's perfect. In fact, I think I did that more as a test for myself, but I actually think anything that's vocal related, I'm gonna move it into the walk-in closet now and actually do it that way, because it's a more confined area to do any type of audio recording. But it's great. I plugged in my amp because I got my amp in here with the guitar, and that would time mm-hmm. out on the iMac mm-hmm. with cabling through a preamp, plugging to the amp to the preamp to the computer. It's a lot of it's a daisy chain of things that's happening, and the iMac would time out. Mm. Nothing. It's great.
That's sweet.
I love it. So the only thing I haven't tested, not for a lack of trying, is streaming. So I don't know how streaming is. I don't know. And I'm curious
about
streaming.
Okay with mine.
Yeah. I wish I could say I knew. But
cam links and adapters can be.
Yeah.
That was the main thing steering me away from keeping the MacBook, is I was like, with all the accessories I'm plugging into this thing, it's just a constant mess on my desk. There's just always wires, and there was no like, oh, you just got to arrange it in the right way. It was like, no, it always has to be messy. It just has to be. And it's just all being on one side too just kept throwing me off. It would be so much nicer if I could just plug in on the right and the left.
When you were using the MacBook, did you have any streaming lags, or did anything? No.
Mm-mm. I mean, it takes a few tries to get OBS configured correctly to where you have the bitrate set to a proper amount, and you set the CPU usage to it's either like ultra high or very fast, or fast or medium. And with different computers, it makes sense to put it on different levels. And if you don't mess with that, you can. You might start streaming in OBS and see it say encoding overloaded, but it just needs the CPU usage to be adjusted a tad, and then you eventually get it tuned in to the point where I can do it like I do with the iMac Pro, and it's fine. It never encodes overloads or anything. And the same thing with the MacBook Air. I streamed, I think, 3 or 4 times with the MacBook Air, so it was 1080 at 60. It was high bitrate, and the M1 handled it perfectly. So I have no complaints there. It was just all I/O issues. That's really all it came down to, was input output and Mac Mini. I stand by my point. It's still on my desk since we did that whole Mac Mini episode. I know we bring it up a lot on this show, but it is a tech podcast, guys, and also it's probably the most interesting Apple product available right now compared to everything else that has been talked about to death, whether it be iPhone 12, iPad Pro, and there's not even that. The reason we talk about Apple Silicon so much on the show is because it's where probably the most mm-hmm. fascinating development is. It's like, it started because, you know, all three of us have now tested the M1 and we can see the amazing potential of it.
Yeah.
But it's not done. At the same time, it's still just the beginning. This is just one chip, and this is how much they were able to do with it. Imagine the next one.
Fast Apple grew their A-line chips. I believe it was the A4 chip was the first one.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, wow, this is like pretty fast. Yep. Awesome job. This is better than whatever Samsung chip they were using in the old iPhones before the A4. And then it was just like every single year, it's like this exponentially growing graph. And maybe it's not going to stay that exponential for much longer, but I am very impressed at where we're at right now, and just imagining the further exponential increases we can get, even if it's not 2 times, it's 1.5 or 1.25 times exponential increases. This is already, it feels like I'm using a computer from 2030, honestly. No lag, just for pure speed and price.
Yeah.
Pure speed and price. It feels like I'm using a computer from 2030. Just like someone in,
someone
in 2010 would think
ahead.
This 2017 MacBook Pro was from the future, because it was thin, light, fairly cheap, and powerful enough to get everything done a 2010 YouTuber could have ever needed. Like, back then we were hardly doing HD right. video. So, you know, it feels like I'm using a computer that doesn't belong in this time period. So Apple must have found a way to break the space-time continuum and get some technology from the future, because mm-hmm. this is awesome.
And we don't really have that same excitement or potential for exponential growth in many of other Apple sections.
The Apple TV, when it comes though. Hey! Yeah.
We got TV box, or what are they going to do with the Apple Watch? What are they going to do with the iPhone?
It's and also, we're not in that time yet. Like, I think as we get to, like, June, July, when we're talking more about the new iPhones, I'll get more excited about it. And I think we're due for a new update on the watch physical design. So I'm curious to see if they do anything there.
I hope.
But right now...
But even that's more fashion-based than function.
Right now, it's like, holy cow, right now you can get almost infinite power, or at least i9 level, maxed out 16-inch MacBook Pro from last year level power
for
$700. It's like,
right.
So what does the $2,500 computer look like? That's what we're excited about.
Oh, and the redesign. Totally. Please.
I kind of got an interesting question for you. Do you think the 14-inch MacBook Pro, I think we can all agree the 16-inch MacBook Pro is going to get the M1X with a dedicated GPU chip. Do you think the 14-inch will also get the M1X, or will it just get an M1 chip with the redesign?
You mean like M1 with an extra Thunderbolt controller so it can handle the ports?
Like slightly M1.2.
Because my good question. Do you have a thought on that, Randy? Because I'm still thinking.
I would say I if it's going to get a redesign, I mean, even aren't these rumored to have mini LED as well and all that?
Some are, but I'm still convinced there's going to be a mid step where it's just the Apple Silicon upgrade, and then next year we get mini LED. But
if,
a lot of rumors right now are saying
it's redesign,
both.
Over like a body, I think it would give it a new chip. I feel like it would be a cooler mark. It makes sense marketing. I think it's a better transition. If it's just going to get what the MacBook Air and the lower end MacBook Pro got, then I can see it sticking with M1 just to do it. But here's why I hesitate. I right there. I think the M1 is so good right now that. If they chose to wait, no one's going to suffer from it. The only reason why people are waiting is not because they want a better chip. They just want more ports, or if they want that rumored SD card, or they would just want a bigger screen or louder speakers.
Sure.
If they says, hey, we're giving you the higher-end MacBook Pro now with the same chip, I don't think anybody would complain. The complaints would be, is it still 720p camera? You know what I mean? Like that would be the complaint. It would have nothing to do with the chip.
That'd be me.
It'll go backwards and be a 480p camera.
But I think if it's going to get a redesign externally, then I could see them. I would like to see it, and I think it would make more sense for them to put the M1X, M1, whatever.
I think so, too. That your argument convinced me, because I think it... the redesign is probably going to come with a bit of a price gap between the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro with M1 right now is the only M1 chip I won't recommend. That's the single one I'm like, don't get that one. The Air is great. The Mac Mini is great. But I don't...
The touch bar.
I do love the touch bar. It's a great counter argument. But at the same time, I'm just like, the MacBook Pro is so close to getting... I think the only reason I wouldn't recommend it is because I think that the 13-inch MacBook Pro with four ports is going to be the next one to get upgraded. Like, whatever the next step for Apple Silicon is, it's most likely that one, even if it's done in a site refresh or a March event, something minor. That's for sure the next target in Apple's lineup of just like, we got to switch that one next. So I feel like it potentially could be only a couple of months away from an update, and also... The performance it has, I know it's like slightly bigger battery and it has a fan, but the performance difference with the M1 without a fan versus with a fan is so minor, to be honest. I've seen the speed test and I was like, you're going to save like a couple seconds. It's like not, it's not like minutes faster export times with a fan. It really doesn't make a huge impact. So you really, I guess, have to ask yourself, if you really don't need the extra ports and you really love the touch bar that much extra. I also think the battery life on the MacBook Air is incredible. Mm-hmm. So I don't think a few hours of battery life should warrant the extra cost, but I'm kind of the same way with the 12 Pro. I'm like, no one should buy that, but still a bunch of people bought it, I guess. I think if they are going to give it a redesign, though, yeah, it's probably going to be more expensive. I could see if they are adopting mini LED and an updated design and all that, it might not even start at like $1,500. That model might be like a $1,800 MacBook, and it'll be great. Mm-hmm. But with that extra price, they're going to want to justify the specs. They're going to want to argue that like there's no better laptop for $1,800. You know, it can launch rockets. It's so powerful. It can flip through. Can you do Photoshop thumbnails on the touch bar? Because I could use my thumb. Yeah, this doesn't make sense because I would use my finger with funny. A trackpad anyway, Intel. So even if the Mac doesn't have a touchscreen, I'm still flipping through Photoshop thumbnails with a thumb. Whatever. It's stupid. But yeah, a dedicated.
Welcome to Intel.
M1X or whatever the next generation one. Yeah, because they're the same size, right? It would still be like a 5-nanometer chip. I don't see why. Like, we're kind of moving away.
No, the die is, I think the die is like 18 millimeters.
I just mean the difference between
5 nanometers,
the 16-inch MacBook Pro and the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Whatever chip they're planning on putting in both of them is going to be pretty equal in size. Well, it's a 5-nanometer in the iPhone and a 5-nanometer in our Mac Mini. It's a...
So, nanometers refers to the size of the transistor gates inside of the processor. The die size is the same size. If that's what you mean? Like physical, the die size? Okay, yeah. So, right now, how it used to work with Intel Macs, the Intel Macs all pretty much had the same die size CPU, but the ones that had a graphics card had an extra graphics chip, basically. It took up as much space as the other CPU. So I would imagine with the 16-inch MacBook Pro, the M1X is definitely going to be physically bigger. Like, I think we're on 18 millimeters right now for the M1 chips. The dimensions of that, it could be wrong, but that sounds right from what I remember. And immediately walking back my statement, I would imagine the M1X is going to be quite a bit bigger, probably in the 24 to 30 millimeter size. Like, it's going to be chonk, which is fine because it's going to be infinitely powerful. And I'm very excited to see that. So personally, what I would say, to the question that I asked you, I think that the 14-inch MacBook Pro will get just the regular M1 chip plus an extra Thunderbolt controller. And the reason why you would go from the 13-inch MacBook Pro with M1 to the 14-inch MacBook Pro with M1 would be because of the new design. You get that new clean design, which is 90% of the reason why anyone upgrade their devices to begin with. And the size difference, I'm not sure of how big the M1X is going to be, but I'd imagine there would be a little bit more of difficulty packing in that 20-hour battery life in a smaller, thinner, more sleek design in still a 14-inch form factor. So I'd imagine the 14-inch is still going to have an M1, and then the 16-inch would be the one with the M1X along with the iMac and whatever other Pro Max they make M1X. Because they always have made that distinction. Like, even back when they had cheap 13-inch, and 16-inch MacBook Pros, the 13 inches were never equally powerful with the 16-inch. And that's something I never really liked because I wanted to have all of the power in a smaller form factor. But I think Apple kind of likes that for differentiation purposes, seeing that they've made a pretty bad I/O and design-wise M1 MacBook Pro that they're probably going to keep around for a long time. And that 14-inch will take that middle spot, which will be pretty good. Pretty good design in the 16-inch.
We're going to have another complicated MacBook Pro lineup again. We're going to have it.
I know. I'd really
three different sizes, unless they just get rid of the M1 MacBook Pro that quickly. But
I don't think they do that. Do you think
probably
they do
not.
That?
Unlikely, but I don't know. I mean, with Apple Silicon, there has been a more of a trend of keeping performance equal across the lineup. You know, 12 Mini has the same chip as 12 Pro Max. iPad Air has a technically newer, slightly faster chip than the iPad Pros. It can't. They're pretty close. A12Z and A14 are pretty evenly matched, but I think there were a certain number of tests where the A14 was a little bit faster. But you can't really utilize it because the Air only does 60 hertz. So anything that's really kind of high performance at 120 FPS can't be utilized anyway. But with the iPad line, there's not a huge amount of like. There's a little bit, but there's not a huge amount of like the bigger one is faster than the smaller one. And I can see Apple going either way, to be honest. Like, Nick, your argument makes sense of like wanting to differentiate, and they might decide to keep doing that because the Mac has always been that way. The bigger one has more space, therefore we can fit more powerful components inside. But at the same time, it would also be kind of interesting if Apple decided to make it more just, it's just a size. It doesn't make or break GPU performance or CPU performance. And if they're moving away from having, you know, discrete GPUs and having like, oh, only the 16-inch MacBook Pro can have its own GPU. If they're doing more like the GPU is on the chip, this is all one chip, it's all system on chip to help with efficiency and power consumption and but still have great performance, then at that point, I don't see much of a point in making it a size thing, other than maybe just profit margins. Just saying, you know, we could fit a more powerful chip in the MacBook Pro, but then it would have to be more expensive. I guess that could be like a configurator thing. You could add a GPU and check out.
The only thing I would say about the bigger model of anything that Apple has always kind of marketed on, and I think they should continue, is more battery. Like, if you're going to have that space, nice. Just put more battery in it, and that's your trade-off. Not so much performance as it is longevity. And I think about like when they showed the redesigned 2015 MacBook, and they said, what do we do with all this extra space? We just put more battery in there, and they did as much as they could. Imagine doing that to a 16-inch MacBook Pro redesign. And it's the same tiny little motherboard with the M1 or M1X and everything else. It's compatible with so much legal amount of battery that you could have.
Barely legal, yeah.
For flying, you know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so that way it can still do that. And just stuff it with all this battery and with the, you know, internal processing now, really give you longevity out of it. I would pay, in that sense, if I was on the market, I want a big battery. I would sell that, and as Apple, I would sell that for a higher margin, and I would pay that higher margin because it would that's something that's worth to the people who want as much battery as possible. For me, the idea of just adding a division between lower end, higher end, and the only difference is that redesign and you get more, and it's the same chip. I feel like that model might not work anymore because of the tech maturing as such, in the sense of competition around. I mean, at this point, Apple doesn't want to punch down on Intel. They're just going to let the chips speak for themselves. It's no secret that Macs don't have a high market share as opposed to Windows. And the best way to convince anybody to a conversion of any type is to say it doesn't matter which one you get, like iPhones.
Is to waterboard them. You're right, Mandy. That's the best way to convert someone.
You talking about some like straight camp internment thing where concentration camp or whatever they're doing in China with Muslims or something? No.
Turned so fast.
Concentration.
I know. It felt so abusive. It's like just waterboard them. Like, oh. That's just like what.
Battery life's a good point though.
M1 chip across the board. If they're going to release it for one, I feel like it's appropriate to release it for everything at the same time. Because if you give me one that's M1X and the one that's just M1, you're just causing the same ripple about why people have been waiting so long anyway for the – especially because the 13-inch, from my understanding, is the most popular form of – is the most desired form.
Yeah.
You know, why cause another ripple? If you want an M1 13-inch, we have them already, you know? Otherwise, here's what we can release right now going forward from March 2021 or whenever they do it. Going forward, we now do M1X for these models. And then that's it. The only difference is battery, more battery. And that comes at a price. Okay, fine. Here's my money.
Because the cores between whether it's an M1 or a M2T, whatever fancy chip they end up putting in the Mac Pro, they can still stuff those four high-efficiency cores that the M1 have, which are the only ones active when you're doing light tasks like Safari and messages and basic stuff like that. So that's what's so exciting. Like I've seen some people speculate that the 16-inch MacBook Pro, when doing light tasks, if you were just watching videos on it and you weren't like editing a high tensive video, it's still just going to be using those high efficiency cores they put in the M1, you could probably break 30-hour battery life on something like that.
Yes.
Which is insanity. Yes. Like, yes. Thinking about a battery life that long. I think you joked about it one earlier episode of like, you don't charge it. It's a never charge Mac. It lasts 6 years.
It just doesn't come with any USB ports. Yeah.
It's like, you don't need to charge it. Don't worry about that. But
it's portless.
Yeah, no, a MacBook, because battery life is super important to a ton of people who are out in the field away from power. So
the actual battery life goes down as slow as the battery health percentage does.
Yeah. So your battery health is actually just your battery percentage. So for the 12 mini, I'd be like, oh, I'm at 99%. Here we are.
Okay.
That would be interesting.
After I watched that video of your review, I looked at mine and I'm still at 100%. So I don't know what you're doing wrong.
I think too.
Mine
I'm
is dying
100%.
More.
I just checked a couple mine, days ago.
Mine gets a lot
what
more
are you doing
usage.
With it?
I don't know what you guys aren't doing with it.
Do you kill it?
What's your average screen on time?
Do you kill your battery? I'll take a look. But do you
kill
your battery?
It does
happen,
yeah. I use my phone. I don't really change the usage of my phone dependent on will it kill the battery or not. I kind of just use my 12 mini the same as I use my 11 Pro Max. And then when it gets low, I charge it. And I definitely notice it obviously getting down to 10 or below more often than the 11 Pro did. So like the 11 Pro Max, I could comfortably not charge it one night and still have a full day's worth of battery on a second day. 12 mini, I've never had that once. I've never been like, oh, I can do a whole nother day of this. It's always like I'm coming at the end of the day and I'm like, yeah, it needs to charge. And there have been several times it's gotten down to 2-3%.
So I think that's what's killing your battery, is it getting down to that percentage.
Yeah.
Because I when I get to 20, I charge it. To be fair, I'm purposely like babying the performance of it in the sense that I plan on holding on to it. So I don't really let it go to 100% ever when I charge it. I don't charge at night anymore. I keep it off by my nightstand. And
mine's every night. Mm. Every night it charges to 100.
Yeah, I don't charge it to 100, and I don't really let it go below 20. It does go below 20, but on average, I will start juicing it up around 20. So, like right now, actually, this is I'm a hypocrite, contradicting, because I'm at 97 right now. That's because I was charging it this morning, and that's what I would normally do. And I try to not actually let it go to 100. The only time I do it to 100, honestly, having the Tesla has changed how I treat batteries, because I treat it like it's the Tesla. Like I don't ever charge it to 100 unless I'm going to go something for the whole day. When we lost power in the middle of the week, when I went over to Jordan's house, I juiced it to 100 because I didn't know when I was going to have electricity again. So I did that and I went to battery safe mode. But outside of that, as an outliner, I keep it between 20 and 80% the same way I do the battery on the Tesla. And I feel like, I know I've read I've read how batteries with lithium treat that way. Like, that really is your sweet spot in preserving longevity of the health of the battery. And so I figured I'm home now. I work from home, so I can afford to be at 80 just fine, and I don't let it get to 2 or 3%. It has happened, and I don't like it when it happens because I know that hurts the battery. So
I don't care enough about battery health to, with my non-Tesla charging habits. I just.
Well, you also don't care about the mini. You're going to get the promotion iPhone this year.
Well, even that, like, even if I was planning on keeping the mini for 3 years, it's just never been like a. I think the reason Apple probably didn't want to put battery health settings in there is because they know how paranoid it makes people. Like, a drop in percent really will not make a huge impact on your... You'll hardly...
But it's no longer a perfect 100%. No.
Right. You'll never really... when it says 100%, it just means it hasn't really measured any degradation yet. It's still there. And
it will happen over time.
Yeah, it'll happen. It's just a matter of by how much. And... Yeah. I have used back when I used phones longer than 1 year, and then I upgraded again. I would still, this is nothing compared to how I treated my 7 Plus battery. That battery was nuked to heck, and that phone is still being used to this day by my buddy Ross in the Air Force. And that phone basically, I was doing YouTube full time off of that phone's hotspot. We did not have Wi-Fi at my house. And I was live streaming. I was uploading multiple videos a day, and it was the hotspot. So basically, wherever I took that iPhone 7, I had to make sure I was near a charger, because the personal hotspot, I'd have my iPad connected to it, because I never did the cellular iPad thing, and my computer connected to it. And usually a friend of mine would want to connect to it too. So it was perpetually that little blue bar at the top just said three connections, four connections. And it was hot all day. And it would just come home charged, and I'd always have a battery bank with me in my backpack.
What was the percentage? Did it give you the health? What was it?
They didn't have it back then, but I just know that the reason I never made battery life a major point in most of my reviews was because I never felt like a battery has made or broken a phone purchase for me. It's never been like, this phone is great. Yep.
If that was the case, none of us would have a mini right now, if that was really the issue.
Right. But even then, exactly the case, because the 12 mini battery is not fantastic, but it is good enough. And I've never found the need of I guess you got to have a charger nearby. I've never found that to be a huge hassle. Mm-hmm. So even if the battery health was 90% after 3 months, I would be kind of like, ooh, that's kind of weird. But I wouldn't like say phone wasn't worth it now.
To answer your question, I'm at 6 hours and 15 minutes this week.
For the last 10 days?
10. Can I do 10? I just looked at week.
It says last 24 hours and last 10 days.
Oh, on the battery side. Oh, yeah. I was looking at performance. Okay. Battery, last 10 days.
So I'm at 6 hours and 52 minutes.
6 hours and 9 minutes.
For the past 10 days. But I will say this. My screen off time is an additional to the screen on time. My screen off time is another 2.5
hours.
Mine's
2 hours and 43 minutes off time. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Huh. So there's a nice little graph above there that says battery usage. And every single day over the past 10 days, except for today, which hasn't really happened yet, I have used over 100%
of the
battery. Yeah,
I see that too. The same thing.
So there are a couple days where it's like almost at 150%. So
yeah.
On the...
Which means you're going through over a full cycle each day.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's crazy. I'm still at 100%. I just checked battery health as 100%, which is great. But my charging habits are, I'll charge it at night on MagSafe with the optimized battery charging.
Yeah, I never turn that off.
So it charges slowly, and it doesn't really fill up all the way until like right before I wake up, which is kind of weird if I wake up at like 4 in the morning and I'm like, my phone's only at 80%. What did it not charge?
It knows.
It was just waiting.
Mine does that too.
Yeah. And then I use it really hard all day. And then typically by like 5 or 6 p.m. I need it to juice up. And I'll juice it up for about 10, 20 minutes. And just on the 20-watt anchor charger with a lightning cable, it takes 10, 20 minutes. I get up to like 50 or 60%. And then I use that basically until 20%. So I never, as Randy said, I also never go below 20% really. Once I get that low power mode notification, I'll plug it in. So maybe that's part of it. So it's basically going between 20 and 80 all day long.
So, yeah, yours is way over 100% too, almost every day.
I've never even looked at those features until you guys pointed out. I didn't know that was a thing. And now that we've talked about it, I guarantee it's going to change my habit now. I'm going to try to stay under 100%.
That's I've just never been a battery health fanatic, you know.
You know what I realize? Go ahead. Yeah.
At the end of the day, like a battery replacement, I think is like $70 or something.
Yeah.
If no, you wanted just, to reset
I like
it
the challenge is interesting to see like how much more can I cut it down. Because if that's the case, the times where like I'm not on my phone, I would hate to look at my iPad stats.
Yeah, they don't have them in the iPad.
Yeah.
Not the battery health.
No.
I would love to look at the battery health.
Screen time, yeah. But I understand why, because I think it makes people really, really nervous. And Apple's just like, no, don't think about it. You know?
Those days where I'm over 100%, like those are the days where I'm driving a lot. Because those times where I'm over 150% this week was when I didn't have power here. So I went into my car to charge my phone, and I was driving around, and I'm just playing, you know, YouTube or Spotify or something. And so it's interesting. But I will concede to this, Drew. I don't think battery health, like it's an unnecessary stressor that I don't care for. Mm. I get why they put it there because of, you know, lawsuits and stuff. I understand. But
that was a feature sued into existence.
Yeah. I wouldn't. I don't care like that in that sense. But I do know that it is working on me, and the fact that it makes me conscious enough to want to try to change it. But also, I also think about my smartphone addiction, and I like looking at the numbers to see like, am I doing better this week? I'm average. Like if that's my average, I know that feels pretty average, and I'm constantly trying to kick that addiction. And I think it's like, I don't know if this is the right term for addiction, but it's like. Yeah, it is, because you're an addict, isn't it? So I know I am addicted to it, and I don't think I'll ever be done with it. It's just how long can I stay sober from it and before I go back? You know what I mean? It's crazy because it's a battle. And I think what's crazy is even more, like I like that you and Luis go play tennis and you go outside and you do these things. I'm pretty cooped up sometimes, and I get stir crazy, and it makes me that much more – I don't know. Plus, FaceTime is the only way I can communicate with my wife, and it's. I wish I wasn't so addicted to it. And right now, I feel like I'm being kind of force-fed the like a junkie who's getting his first hit, and I have to stay on the phone because there's nothing really more I can do. And it's crazy.
Sure.
So do away with the why That's we're all good. In quarantine? Why we all have to, you know, during this pandemic, just take away the health. Battery health, Apple, and then don't make me feel weird about it. I don't know.
Just say it's fine. 100%. Don't worry about it.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's an estimation anyway. They don't really know.
True.
They probably start rounding. They could potentially just start rounding down after a certain number of cycles just to guess. They'd be like, but I mean, temperature has to do with it too, right?
True. Yeah. And the number, the yeah.
I bet my battery's been a lot colder than your guys's. Just saying.
This is probably true, Mr. No Heater.
Well, it sits on a spot on the window in our bedroom that gets really, really cold in the morning. Mm. It's probably freezing. So it's just...
That's not a good thing.
Wakes up super cold to the touch.
It doesn't sound like a good thing.
Yeah, that's not
good.
No, but I'm not willing to run my heater to save a percent of battery.
How about to just keep you alive?
I'm under blankets. I'm warm. The phone's not, but I am.
That's funny.
So something that makes my phone a little bit hotter and has probably decreased the battery life is the fact that I'm using 5G perpetually because I switched to Visible. I left Verizon. I did it. I know we talked about that a couple
You're
weeks
welcome,
ago.
You're welcome, Nick.
I actually went through. Thank you, Drew.
Why don't
thank
I
you,
get
Randy,
some referral
for inspiring us.
As a non-visible user, but I just won you guys like six people, so you should... I don't know. Send me something.
I believe
sponsor
believe
us, and then we'll talk. We'll make
codes.
An ad talking crap about Verizon or T-Mobile or whatever. Even though I'm a big T-Mobile user or Mint, hopefully
I'm all in on Mint and Visible. That's our two
if
titans.
If you don't have a celebrity owner, you're not on Visible. Go Mint.
That's amazing.
Hugh Jackson should buy Visible.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Hugh Jackman owning
that would be a great fight because it's still using the opposite networks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. That would be beautiful. Oh, I would be all for that. I want to give a couple thoughts on Visible
here because
this is something I didn't quite realize until I switched, and I wish I knew before.
Oh, okay.
It's not like I'm going back,
all right,
but it's not as wonderful and roses as I was thinking it
would
be. The deal with Visible is it's unlimited for $40 a month. If you have three or more people, including yourself, so four people in a little group, it's $25 a month. So $25 a month is what I'm paying because we have a lot of people in my family.
Right.
And it's the cheapest unlimited LTE that I can find. I think there's like a 50 gig a month, like then it like throttles you or something. But I don't go through past that, thankfully. I used to, but now that we have some decent internet, I don't do that anymore.
Sure.
They have hotspot data at 5 megabits per second, but it's advertised as being full speed LTE. But it is deprioritized. So in my experience, that means you still get fast downloads and fast uploads at your normal LTE speeds, but your ping is, instead of 16 milliseconds, it's 120 milliseconds or something.
Okay.
So it takes a little bit longer to connect to websites and stuff, but it's not super noticeable. And that was back with all my Sprint MVNOs. With Visible, it's different. And I wish I knew that it was different. At my house here, I was used to getting between 150 and 120 down, 120 and 150 down, and between 75 and 100 up, depending if I was on 5G or LTE. So I had really good LTE here. And that was on Verizon when I was paying $95 a month or $55 a month for their two plans that I had toggled between. And both of the services were indistinguishable from each other. I switched to Visible, and I get like 7 down and like 2 up.
Whoa.
On LTE.
Well, that's
and
not very
so
good.
I did the little field test mode, and I switched the SIMs around a couple times. And I can confirm they're operating on the same network in the same band, so it's not like they're using a different frequency to talk at. For some reason, it's just being deprioritized down to, 7 down and 2
up. That's a big drop.
It was so big that for a few minutes, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going back to Verizon. This is unusable. It was so bad I could hardly watch a YouTube video, right? 7 down is about as basic as you can get.
Pretty much.
And so I was like, well, I wonder if 5G is going to be faster. So I flipped it to use 5G always. It's just the 5G, nationwide or whatever. So it's not the
not ultra wideband.
Yeah, and so with 5G, I get around 60 to 70 down and around 30 up, which is like that's definitely usable, and that's fine for me. But now I'm using 5G instead of LTE because I hate 5G, especially the 5G that I'm using. That's not the real 5G, and now my battery just probably sucks more than it used to. So
probably.
Shout I didn't out to know that switching to Visible. Just
I know Mint
ready.
Is Mint is also deprioritized, I think it was CNBC did a article on the they did some average test of T-Mobile versus Mint mobile speeds, and they were pretty close. They said it was a bit slower, but not what you're describing. Not like 150 versus 7.
My area. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
that feels like a huge drop. For the tests I was seeing, it was more like, okay, with T-Mobile you'll get 80, with Mint you'll get 50. It was, not like feature differentiating speeds. It's like, you could still do everything. It just might be a tad bit slower. But I'm officially downgrading to their smallest plan now just because I thought 3 gigs was pushing it, but I was looking at my average data usage, and it was like, occasionally I go over 3, but my average is more like 3.5, 3.6. And now they upped all their tiers to, it's 4, 10, and 15 now. So I was like, okay, 4 will be fine. 3, I was pushing it, but 4 I think is comfortable enough. So I don't need 10 for how little I leave the house. But my Xfinity data usage is over 2 terabytes. So that's where all the internet's going.
Well, speaking of Xfinity, Drew, I think you have something that I'm very angry about.
You got to pre-order Starlink, didn't you?
Yeah, I got to pre-order it, but somebody else got something else here. Come on.
So you got, Starlink said they had limited supply in my area, which I was super freaked out about. And it was a bad time, too, because my wife and I were having a conversation about something else. And then I just briefly, were having a deep talk, and I went into the other room, and I briefly just checked my email, and it said, Starlink is available in your area. And I was like, oh, honey, can we talk about this for a second? And she was like, wait, how much is it? And I was like, about $600. She was like, wait, what? And I was like, well, you're buying the... So the dish comes with the router, for one.
Yep, yep.
And the router looks like a Cybertruck. And
yep.
I watched all the setup videos. I know how to set it up. But the reason it's very urgent, I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about it. They didn't give me any NDA or anything, so I think it's okay. But they basically said, like, if you're willing to buy Starlink now, you know, it's limited availability. So if you tap this link, you will have 15 minutes to order. And then the page expires.
Oh, which, gosh.
Like I said, was really bad because I was in the middle of a conversation with Louise. And I was like, so we have to talk about this? She's like, can we talk about it later? And I was like, no, we can't. We have to. Otherwise, they're just going to say no. So I don't know exactly if I could just tap the link again after the page expired. But basically, we had 15 minutes to decide whether or not we were going to go through with it. And it's not a for sure thing yet. It's okay. Like, I will take delivery of it, and I will set it up, and I will use it. But it's not the cancellation of Xfinity is not confirmed. Mostly because it's still technically in beta at this point. They did open pre-orders for everybody, I think. So everyone else can... I think they were saying mid to late 2021.
That's what mine says.
I think that's when it's officially out of beta. But right now it'll be in beta.
DJ on the Space Podcast is late 2021. That's the only one they told him late. It doesn't say mid. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
interesting. Well, I hate Comcast with a passion. And I despise how complicated getting internet from them was. And I also despise the pricing because it's also not consistent. Like, suddenly they will just raise their rates, and it's not by much. It'll sometimes just be like $3 or $5 more, but I'm just, we see the bill and we're like, why did they raise it? And they're just like, we decided it is higher now. And I hate that. And right now we're paying $145 a month for Wi-Fi.
Ooh.
So while Starlink is an upfront cost, it ends up costing $100 a month. And I'm well aware that the speeds are not going to be as good as Comcast's, but I don't care that much about download. And to be honest, knowing that Starlink will improve with time as they launch, I think there's like 2 Starlink missions in the next 2 weeks or something. There's like a bunch of Starlink still to come. And on the latest Joe Rogan, Elon even mentioned that they want to eventually get Starlink to like gigabit speeds. It won't be that at first, but they eventually want to get there. I would much rather get over onto a internet provider that's scheduled to improve with time for $100 a month than one that I know is not going to get better and charge me $140 a month. I mean, after a year or so, I'll start to save money. It won't be instant savings, but my main key factor to whether or not we cancel Xfinity is how stable the connection is.
Yeah,
and the beta did. Yeah, the beta did say there's chances that it could go off entirely at certain points, which would not work for us because my wife uses the internet for work and I, of course, do. So if it's an occasional thing of like once a month it shuts off for 5 minutes, that's basically what Xfinity is now. We still run into Xfinity shutting off randomly, and that's very annoying when you're spending all that money on them and they're just like,
sorry, it's down tonight.
Yeah, they just do that. So I'm like, well, Starlink might not be super duper reliable 24/7, but neither is Xfinity. It's that they run into issues too. So basically, even if the speeds are worse, even if the upfront cost is a lot, I'm really, really a huge fan of SpaceX. So if it's at all possible for us to work, we're basically going to keep our Xfinity line for like a month, but try to do everything off of Starlink. And if it goes well, we'll cancel Xfinity. If it doesn't go well, we'll have to return Starlink, which I made sure they had a return policy in place, so they do. So it's a 30-day thing.
No, 30 days.
I think it's 30. They even said you could return it if you received the dish and then found out that you don't have any good views of the sky. So if you just bought Starlink and then it shows up and you're like, there's nowhere for me to put the dish, they'd be like, okay, just return it, get a refund. I don't know if there's a restocking fee. I've never bought anything from SpaceX before. I love just seeing that charge on my credit card. Just
SpaceX seeing things, telecommunications.
I was like, that's cool.
Yes.
I want to try it out.
Space exploration. On my Amex, it came through as space exploration.
Mine says SpaceX under services. It's purple. And the Apple Pay option on the website didn't work, which is a little frustrating. At first, I was like, 2% back. But every time I did the Apple Pay thing, it was like error. But if I entered in the credit card info, it worked. So they said shipping would be 2 to 4 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
that's coming up.
It's not. Yeah,
my Amex
super
came
soon,
up as
but...
Space Exploration Techn... T-E-C-H-N. Techn...
Yeah, I would love to be all in on Starlink just because I know I'm going to be spending probably $100 or more on internet every month for the rest of my life, probably. And if I have to pay for it, I would much rather pay SpaceX, who's an amazing company, than Comcast, who is going to use that money to try to come up with some TV bundle that they will mail to me in the form of ads and just sign up to cable TV. Whereas SpaceX is like, you know, it'd be cool if people were on Mars. Like, you take my money. Because that sounds awesome. Weather's another concern. True. I want to see how it does in the rain and cloudy days. And so there's a lot of things I have to test, but I'm willing to put up with a lot just so that I can pay SpaceX.
I'm kind of with you there, but I don't think my tolerance is going to be quite as much. This Starlink solution will be replacing our whole house's internet connection. And so one of my family members does a lot of VPN work in secure environments, and he uses a lot of bandwidth, and it needs to be fairly low latency and pretty stable. Otherwise, we tried some satellite internet in the past, and it basically fried one of his machines. He had to send it back to the office to have it reconfigured.
Jeez.
And so, yeah, it's Starlink should work, and I hope it works, but it might not yet. And so if it doesn't work this time, which is not going to be available in my area till mid to late 2021, so we got a couple months at the very least. But if it doesn't work, then I'm going to try it again in a couple more years after they have more coverage. I truly do believe in the vision of Starlink, and I do hope it's going to fix all the problems. I have been, now that it's like real to me, I've been watching a lot more of the Starlink reviews, and people are seeing anywhere between 120 down and like 20 up or so. And I'm getting 20 up now. And as you and I both know, what we actually care about is the upload speed.
Download could almost be anything at this point.
Exactly. Like
if it was 20 down but 100 up, I'd be like, okay, I'll do it.
That's even better. How much extra is that?
Yeah, I'll take the priority upload plan if possible.
Yeah. So I'm really hoping the Starlink is going to fix everything here because I like you, I believe SpaceX and I hate our current provider. So go SpaceX.
One question I have, I don't know if they have a... They gave me an account number and everything. Like, I can sign in, and then it just gives me... It's like, currently you owe $0, but eventually that'll have a bill and stuff. But I want to contact someone, customer support, and ask if I can keep the dish and cancel the service.
Ooh.
And then re-sign up for it at another date. Because I wouldn't mind if I could just cancel the monthly cost for like a year and then reactivate it. I don't know.
Well, the, maybe someone knows. If you get the app, there is a support button where you can send them an email if you get the Starlink app.
I did get the app. I didn't send them an email.
Yeah,
but
you go to the support, the wrench, and then the very top corner, there's a little mail button.
Because I would highly consider that. I would highly be like, okay, it's not reliable or super fast right now, but I don't want to return the whole thing because getting it up on the roof or setting it up with the wires and stuff is going to be a big pain in the butt. So I'd like to just keep that, even if I don't use it for another year, and just be like, okay, I watched 5 more Starlink missions. Mm-hmm. Let's try it now and just sign up. $100. Cool. See how it's working. Something like that. I don't know. But we'll find out soon enough.
Are you going to get Starlink, Randy? if you moved on where I go. Timbuktu.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he knew where he was going, it'd be a lot easier to know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm in limbo for everything. I don't know if I'm going to get Mint. I don't know if I'm going to get Starlink. I don't know if I'm going to have anything. I don't even know if I'm going to have a U.S. number. I should know within
it's
the next
a lot of unknowns.
Couple. Yeah. I'm in purgatory right now.
Well, yeah. I hope we get some answers for you soon.
Very.
Yeah. We'll see.
But I like this. This is a dumb reason, but I love the Starlink router.
Oh.
That's the main reason I want it. It looks so much better than my crappy router.
It's going to be in the background of all my videos once I get it.
Active? With wires in it?
No, I'll make the wires as minimal as possible. But yeah, it'll be...
But like, it'll be on and operational.
Yeah. It'll be operational. It's so pretty. Like, just like I have I love this beautiful light bulb, it'll be right there.
For one, I love the design of the Starlink terminal. The dish is really futuristic and clean. And secondly, I love that there's only one cable that comes out of it.
Ah!
Like, that's awesome.
Yes.
You set it up, and then just one wire goes into this little box, and that box provides the power, and that box sends a cable. Like, have you seen the setup?
Yes.
With the wires?
Yeah.
It's so minimal.
I mean,
I
it
love
does come
it.
With
it's 100 so simple.
Feet of
it's
cabling,
colored.
So it doesn't look minimal, but
it for does?
What it is. Yeah, the beta testing boxes. There's 100-foot Ethernet cables that it came with.
I didn't know it was 100 feet. I thought they put in like 20 or something. Oh, man. I could wrap that around my house, I think. our house is so small, I bet our neighbors are going to try to piggyback off our Starlink. For the record, like, no one I know knows about Starlink where I live.
Really?
So I'm guessing that I'll be like the first person in
probably
the demographic.
Have really good speed.
I'll tell no one about it. I don't want anyone else to sign up. If you're far away from me, sign up. But if you live near me, just keep using Xfinity. They're great.
Yeah, Xfinity.
They're wonderful.
If you don't have bad internet and pay lots of money, you don't have Starlink. Go then get Xfinity.
Oh, I can't wait to use it. I'm so pumped. It's probably not going to be as fast as my current internet, and I don't care. I'm just excited. I don't care about ping either.
Yeah.
The ping can be low. It's fine.
Not atrociously
I just
low,
wanted to start...
I have tolerance.
I want to start a live stream and say, streaming from Starlink. I can't wait to do
streaming
that.
Streaming brought like, to you from space.
Right. Like, I am beaming data up to the... Oh, anyway. Closing thoughts, gents, before I,
no, I don't
fanboy
think so.
On Starlink more?
I'm good.
Okay.
I,
sounds good.
I worry about
have
the Cybertruck, even though I'm not on the
no.
TV podcast.
No. Bye, everyone. Bye. Take care.